Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women on this beautiful Friday summer day. Today, I'm excited. I'm having someone on the show that has been on my show before, and she is always just a wealth of information about the feminine. It's Reverend Dr. Karen Tate. She's an author, teacher, speaker, radio show host, and social justice activist. She was named one of the 13 most influential women in goddess spirituality and a wisdom keeper of the goddess spirituality movement. She also hosts the long-running show Voices of the Sacred Feminine on Blog Talk Radio, and the books that she has authored are Goddess Calling, Sacred Places of Goddess, Walking an Ancient Path, and Voices of the Sacred Feminine. She appears in the influential and award-winning film Femme, Woman Healing the World. For over two decades, Karen's work has been fueled by her intense interest and passion for travel, comparative religions, ancient cultures, and goddess spirituality. So welcome, Karen.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Yes. Well, we'll do a little background because not everybody may have heard you before on my show. So let's talk a little bit about what inspired you to be a scholar and a minister for the sacred feminine, because I know that's your passion.
Well, I'm quite surprised myself that this is what I'm doing because it's so far from where I started in life. I grew up in New Orleans in the Bible Belt, and my family was Catholic. But, you know, that never really stuck for me. When I was about 30, I moved out to California, and I attended a class on the sacred feminine. And from there, it was just a slippery slope. When I discovered the history and the spirituality that had been swept beneath the rug and the impact of that sweeping away. You know, I mean, I think we can connect the dots between, women in society being second-class citizens to that sweeping away of goddess or the divine feminine. And, you know, and then you, when you really start to dig deeper, you understand that mythology shapes our culture. So, religion and mythology, sort of shapes, who's the leader in society. And if you only have a male god, well, you end up with male leadership and the supposed justification, for women, being second-class citizens, not making equal pay, and all of the symptoms and ramifications of that, like domestic violence, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things about this hidden history. And I want to dive a little more into that of, how that came about and why, because it's really kind of ancient history in a way. And a lot of times people aren't even aware of what was behind all this.
True. I know growing up in the Bible Belt, I never heard about it. You didn't hear goddess mentioned except, maybe when you were studying Greek mythology in eighth grade, and no one ever taught it to you in such a way that you would think that it might might still be a living tradition today or a viable source or alternative spirituality or religion. You know, it was just, you know, taught as some dead, belief from long ago. And, you know, you don't find out how many people around the globe actually do revere the sacred feminine. But going back even farther, I mean, the thing that is so frustrating is this is our alternative history, or herstory, if you will. I mean, you just go to a great museum, like the ones they mostly have over in Europe. We don't have those sorts of good museums here in the United States. But, you know, you go to the British Museum or the Louvre or the Anatolia Museum in Turkey, and, you know, you see these artifacts that date back 30,000, 40,000 years ago. And you find out that, you know, that many years ago, people were actually revering the sacred feminine. And this idea of a male god is really a relatively new thing on the vast, you know, timeline of history, you know. When the three big patriarchal religions come along, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, I mean, even Buddhism. Buddhism's very patriarchal, too. You know, this idea of an egalitarian society or equality sort of gets swept beneath the rug, and we end up with a male-dominated society because these religions, primarily have a male god. So, it can be quite eye-opening when you discover herstory, when you see what's being kept from the mainstream world, so to speak, in our educational system the way it is. We really have to start being responsible for our own education, or we don't find out about this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, going a little deeper in that, is what was the core thing that happened that there was this shift that came about? You know, or do we even know?
Well, we think we do, and it didn't happen all at once, and it wasn't for the same reasons all over the globe. There are different theories. There are some theories that say, humanity felt that nature and the cycles of life was too chaotic and couldn't be controlled. So instead, they make up an alternative history to the natural cycles of life. You know, this alternative history that when you die, you'll be reborn again, and your reward is really in the hereafter. You know, that was sort of superseded this reality of, the natural life cycle that we all have. Some people also think that it might have had to do with climate. There was a time when, people could, live off the land abundantly. And, we end up with climate change back then. And suddenly, people had to, go to other parts of the continent in order to survive. And maybe instead of, being hunters and gatherers, they became meat eaters and more aggressive. And, some think, it was, some of these societies, already worshipped a sky god. And these sky god worshippers were more aggressive, and they were also on horseback. So they could come in and dominate the more peaceful, goddess-loving people. There's a great book out there called The Rule of Mars, and different scholars, it's an anthology, and different scholars put forth different ideas about how we shifted from maybe a more egalitarian way of life to a patriarchal way of life. And some of it also had to do with the need for strength. Today we're living in the information age, so it's not important if we have muscles. But, in these early days when life was more difficult, women, don't have the same upper body strength, for instance, as men generally. So, men dominated simply because they were stronger. So there's all of these sorts of ideas, And we believe that at one point, women were believed to be superior because they were life givers and they could bleed without dying. And it was all seemed to be very magical, very powerful, very empowering, because back then, ancient people didn't understand the role that men played in procreation. But, we started to shift away from that, too, because, we see in Christianity and, some of these other patriarchal religions, sexuality becomes taboo. Sex is, something to be ashamed of. And, we don't revere women as life givers or revere their sacred blood like we once did. So, it was a different, a shifting of the mindset in these different places. And, we think it probably happened over hundreds or thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most likely. And it seems like now we're headed into another shift. I mean, there's a lot of women who are, speaking up, getting into politics, being powerful, exploring the divine feminine. And so we're kind of in a new phase, don't you think?
I think so. And I think, an important distinction to be made, too, is, this idea of the sacred feminine and the values that come along with it. I don't think every woman naturally follows these ideas. Some are out there supporting the status quo, supporting, the patriarchal way of doing things for whatever reason. They don't know there's an alternative. It serves them, whatever. But the point I want to make is this isn't always, it's not about gender. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It isn't always women that that adhere to these ideas, and men, men buy into these ideas as well. They are tired of our dominator culture. They want a partnership world. So, yeah. So it's kind of a different way of life. It's wanting to have different values in society, and not all women like this, and not all men are against it. So we have to be careful not to, think this is all for women and nothing to do for men, and in fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah, so true. Well, we need to take a break right now. We're going to come back and talk more about Voices of the Sacred Feminine with Karen Tate.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I am talking with Reverend Karen Tate. And she is the author of The Voices of the Sacred Feminine, which is an anthology from a lot of your guests from your radio show, correct?
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to interview folks like Noam Chomsky and Laura Flanders and Vandana Shiva and lots of other, way showers and foremothers, Rhianne Eisler, Jean Houston, folks like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had some of those on my show, too. So we were just talking about the men and how this, this isn't a thing of gender, like this is just for women, and that there are a lot of men out there. I know, and we get them at Women Wisdom that are interested in the divine feminine or saying like, hey, we men have screwed up. We need the women to take over. And not that that's what we're saying of taking over, but, so let's talk a bit more about the idea of how men can embrace these ideas of the goddess and the feminine and that it's not about, subjugating men and all that. I mean, I remember I did a book talk at a bookstore in Seattle area, and the store owner said she had the book by the cash register, and men would come by and go, it's called Woman of Wisdom. And they would go, oh, is this a man-hating book?
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's so important that we punctuate this fact, because, they are under the wrong impression in some cases. I know when I was first out talking about my book, Sacred Places of Goddess, and I would be in these more mainstream audiences, they would think that, they would think, this is like how Rush Limbaugh goes on, with his crazy feminazi stuff, thinking that, women want to take over the world. Well, maybe there's a little bit of guilt there, maybe some of the guys realize how women have gotten a raw deal, that they have been subjugated, they do make less money, their voices have been marginalized. But I think more and more men, as they become more educated and more evolved and actually listen rather than assume, they start to understand that this is about partnership, that this is about complementing one another, the genders complementing one another. And I think some of them are quite tired of the direction the world is going in too. It makes sense to them that, they might want an equal partner at their side to go through life. Maybe they don't want to always call all the shots or have all the answers. Maybe they're someone who isn't your typical male, the tailgater guy, going to all the football games. Maybe they're more of an artist or a tech guy and, who've maybe found it difficult to be in this sort of dominator patriarchal society. And, they wish they did live in a more nurturing environment, or they wish they could be sensitive or nurturing without being called effeminate. We've really sort of put men in a box, just like women have been put in a box. And it stifles both genders and prevents both genders from being their authentic self. And what the sacred feminine really does, it's a form of liberation. It's not about this conformity that patriarchy and this the authoritarianism of patriarchy, what it demands of people. You know, this is a lot, more loving and caring, and it's more about negotiation and partnership and creating win-win situations and equality, justice, and, you know, allowing people to be who they feel called to be. And, you know, that's attractive to both genders.
Yeah, so true. And you, what you're speaking about, too, is why, you know, realizing why it's important for men to embrace the feminine. And they do get cut off. They're not allowed at a young age to show their emotions. And then you go to the workplace and, you know, it's not okay for them to show the feminine side. And so the fact that I know we're kind of working to raise women, you know, and empower women and for women to realize the value of the sacred feminine. But likewise, we need to also do that for the men and make an allowance for them to embrace this too.
True. Well, you know, I think that's the shift that we're hoping for. You know, the shift is for everybody. You know, and it's not even just about our roles in society. You know, I teach partnership classes, you know, inspired by Rhianne Eisler, the famous foremother who wrote, people probably know her from Chalice and the Blade. But, you know, she also wrote Our Real Wealth and The Power of Partnership. And it's about creating a different kind of society and a different kind of economy. You know, it's so it's not even just about our roles. It's to get away from this this domination, this exploitation, this survival of the fittest mentality. You know, it's about caring about one another, having compassion, reaching your hand out to people who have less than you. You know, rather than blowing them off because, oh, well, you know, if they're poor, they must be lazy and they deserve it, you know, kind of mentality. So, you know, we really are hoping to, change the world, so that it will become a kinder, gentler place, you know, of compassion and nurturing and equality and justice instead of the 99% and the 1%, you know, which we hear so much about today because things have gotten so far out of balance in so many different ways, you know, including income disparity, that, we need to turn things around because, we're all being dominated by too few people at the top.
Yeah, and you can tell we're pretty tired of it. I think, you know, it makes people kind of walk away from, politics and just kind of throwing their hands up in the air like we don't have the power to change this. But what's your take on that? You know, I mean, this spirituality and the sacred feminine, it has to do, it's got to have an impact on culture and politics, because that's what you're talking about here, you know.
Yeah, it's really about morality. You know, I mean, look, I know probably in the 90s, I paid a lot less attention to politics because it sort of made my eyes glaze over and it was boring and I wasn't connecting the dots yet to, the connection between spirituality and politics. You know, how we run our politics is a moral issue. And, morality is spirituality. You know, so these things are directly connected. And if we continue down the road we're going, we're already in an oligarchy. I mean, if people don't understand, we don't no longer have a democracy, they really just haven't been paying attention. You know, I mean, we are being dominated by the 1%. That's why Bernie Sanders had such an incredible following. He was the right voice at the right time to sort of, I think, voice the frustration of the 99%, because our political parties answer to the corporations because they're the ones with the money. And what have they done? They've shipped our jobs overseas, and everything is about their bottom line. That's not partnership. That's domination. And, you know, we need to start, seeing that we're in this together, that, everything can't be about maximizing profits. You know, we have responsibilities to each other as humans on the planet. Likewise, you know, we can't let these corporations continue to, exploit Mother Earth's resources. I mean, fracking is destroying the planet. So it's, we could talk about that for an hour, but it's the point that, we really have to start creating win-win situations where everybody benefits. And maybe it might mean that the CEO of a company can't, you know, it has to stop expecting to make 500 times more than their employee. You know, back in the 80s, CEOs made 50 times more than their employee. But, you know, things have gotten so out of whack that they make these huge profits, and what do? Their employees, they cut back and cut back. I mean, we have people like Walmart who doesn't even give their employees a 40-hour week and don't pay them enough of a hourly wage, so that people have to go on food stamps. Basically, making the taxpayer supplement these people's existence. Well, that's corporate welfare. You know, that's corporate socialism. And, you know, the American people really just have to start waking up and start paying attention. You know, even though it's not sexy, even though it's not fun, pull your eyes away from, your computer or your phone for a little bit and do a little research and find out what's going on, because it's up to us, you know. We're the ones that are going to have to make this paradigm shift happen. And it's not going to happen if we are ignorant of what's going on out there and who the problem people are.
Yeah, and it's an educational process, and it's about speaking up. I did, and maybe, you know, that ability to make a stand and be vocal about things. I heard that Walmart has turned around some of this stuff of how they are with their employees. So with pressure, there can be change. Not that they're perfect. I don't know the whole history of that, but I have read that they've turned some things around. And so with pressure that we can put on things, we can, make those changes. If we accept everything as status quo and it's just the way it's going to be, and we don't do anything about it, it's going to continue that 1%.
Well, yeah, because they want us to feel like it's hopeless, and yeah. I know sometimes it can feel overwhelming. But look at, I think we've seen during this presidential campaign, how the millions of people stood together to support Bernie Sanders, and I think they're still going to be supporting him next week. Yeah. I mean, that goes to
Karen,
show you're
I have
not
to,
alone.
Yeah, true, and we've got to go to break now. So we'll come back and talk more with Karen Tate. Stay tuned.
Ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker? Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Pat. I wanted to tell you about a new, powerful, and compelling play by Nicholas Vassili, coming to Seattle July 7th at Cornish Playhouse, Seattle Center, the United States of China.
On one hand, a dedicated American patriot who would give her life for her country. On the other hand, someone who has been battling the injustice and corruption of America most of her life. And she is as confused as any American could be about what she truly believes in. My play, The United States of China, is about the trial of Miriam Hopkins, who is a metaphor for all that America stands for.
This is more than a play experience, it's a movement. It's a movement to create a new level of awareness. Knowledge is power, and we are powerful. Get your tickets today at AmericaTheStrong.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Have you ever tried to make lifestyle changes but had difficulty following through? Imagine what it would be like to get up each morning with energy, clarity, and motivation to tackle the day. If you want to get past limiting barriers that are preventing you from living your best life, join holistic health and wellness coach T. Carrie Mitchell each month on The Dr. Pat Show. Or visit lifestyle120.com today and start to receive the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome back to Women Voices, not Women Wisdom, but Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. I'm talking with Karen Tate. And so, Karen, can you give the audience your contact information, your website, and share a little bit about what you have to offer people?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Well, the website is my name, so that makes it easy. It's KarenTate.com, KarenTate. And, if you go there, you can find out about my radio show, which is on Blog Talk every Wednesday night. And I've been doing it for the last 10 years, so you can find a pretty awesome archive out there. You know, some peers have called it a treasure trove of wisdom. So, and you can always hit the follow button so you're aware of, new guests that come on each week. At my website, you'll find out about the radio show, also about my books. There's a page there with book specials of the books that you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And there's also a bunch of free stuff there people should take advantage of. There's free downloadable meditations. I also did some YouTube videos. It's sort of like a video audio book series. I did some excerpts from my book, Goddess Calling, and put them up on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, so you can find that stuff from my website, as well as some talks that I've been giving. I'm a partnership practitioner now with associated with Rhianne Eisler's Center for Partnership Studies, and I've been giving talks on what partnership is, because the reality is partnership can help us save the world and help us more quickly enter into that paradigm shift we've been talking about. Because, you know, there's partnership with self, there's partnership with our intimate others, there's partnership in our local and global community, and there's partnership with deity or the divine source. And, it's important to understand the difference between domination and partnership, because so many of us have grown up in a dominator society, and we don't even recognize it as that, because it's just what we've been taught as normal, you know? So that's kind of an important thing. And, the other stuff I do is, social justice work. And one of the most powerful things I've done lately with regard to that, I believe, you know, besides the talks and radio show, is I went to the Council for the Parliament of World Religions in the fall of last year. And I was invited to moderate a panel and also give a talk. And I have to say, you know, that inspired me like not much else, except maybe Bernie Sanders' campaign. But, you know, it was, you think of it like this, you know, you had people coming together from 80 different religions, and instead of all of the stuff you see on television every day, you know, this divisiveness, you know, you had people from 80 different religions coming together, trying to find common ground, because the theme of the parliament last October was finding the heart of humanity. It was about trying to find peace. It was about trying to uplift women. It was about trying to save the planet. And it really inspired people to go out there and do some sacred action, you know, to find meaning in your life and do something, you know, to help the world become a better place. And in fact, one of the talks I remember the most that inspired me was at one of the main plenary sessions, and someone got up on the stage and said, he told this little story about, you know, when you pass on from this life and you're facing the divine source, and the divine source asks you, well, where are your scars? And you look at the divine source and you say, scars? What do you mean scars? What scars am I supposed to have? And the divine source says to you, well, was there nothing in your life worth fighting for? You know, that still gives me goosebumps. You know, it kind of keeps me going. It's the gas in my tank.
What in your life is worth fighting for? Yes, yes. And there's lots right now. I mean, we do, you know, hope is such an important aspect of, I think, what is needed now. And that's what I think so great about the internet, is that you can hear stories of hope and, you know, get away from the regular news, which doesn't give you much hope. And, right. You know, we have to have hope that there's changes possible, and that we can have a peaceful world, and that we can have cooperation and collaboration and, you know, partnership.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I think the average person, whether we live here or we live in Turkey or China or Bangladesh, I don't care where you are, you know, we all basically want the same things. You know, we want to have love in our life. We want to have a secure old age. You know, we want to be able to, you know, send our kids to school. You know, we want happiness, love. We want to be able to thrive. But, you know, things have just gotten so far out of hand with domination, whether the domination come from, you know, corporations, you know, multinational corporations who never seem to get enough, or whether it comes from some countries that want to dominate other countries and steal their natural resources. You know, it's not the people, you know, it's the powerful that just never seem to get enough. And, you know, it's like, when is enough enough? You know, mm-hmm. When is enough enough? And that's, I think, what we have to start asking ourselves. And, you know, asking ourselves, how do we measure our wealth? You know, are we going to continue to measure our wealth by, you know, do we have the latest cell phone, or how many shoes are in the closet, or do we have a yacht? Or are we going to measure ourselves by the quality of human being we are? You know, are we in service to one another? Do we, you know, do we care about those less fortunate? Do we do something to help them? You know, so I think we, as humans, we have to grow up a little bit more and, you know, maybe mature into our next phase, you know, vibrate at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. And I think you and I are amongst people that are working on that. And yet we might be in kind of isolation of the areas of the world that we live in, or even of the U.S. that we live in, that we can be kind of, you know, I can think things are pretty great here and I'm surrounded by people like that, but there's still many who aren't. And so, and then we can be sort of isolated where we talk and interact with all the like-minded people. And how does that doesn't reach out to impact others who maybe need a little education or awareness brought to them? You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, exactly. You know, we're all in our bubbles, you know. I mean, I think about the bubble I used to live in, you know, when I lived in Louisiana. And some of the stuff I'm saying today, you know, the younger me back then would probably have rolled my eyes over, or maybe I wouldn't even have understood it, you know, because, you know, our point of reference is, you know, the people that that surround us. And if we don't have the curiosity to look beyond that or question, then sometimes we never break through that bubble. So it is important to, you know, try to find common ground to people not like us, even though it's it can be uncomfortable. You know, it really can. I mean, look at what's been going on TV this week at the, you know, the Trump, you know, the Republican convention. I mean, it's all been about fear and hate and divisiveness. And I know those people probably have the best of intentions, but, you know, they're coming from a place of fear. And they talk about that, actually. I mean, you know, there's studies done about the amygdala in our brain. And, you know, they've done studies that show that the amygdala, you know, will determine basically whether you are a fearful, more dominating, conservative person, or if you're a more flexible, liberal risk taker, you know, who's going to maybe be willing to try new things. So, you know, we're sort of contending with that as well. You know, if you've grown up, you know, in an environment, you know, where that's the only thing you know, then you sort of perpetuate that. It was sad looking at some of these young kids that were just sort of parroting, you know, all of this nonsense, you know, on television. And, yeah, we have to do something about our educational system. And fortunately, there's shows like yours and shows like mine that, you know, maybe can, you know, reach these pockets out there that, because Main Street media is never going to talk about this sort of stuff. You know, they just want to distract us with, you know, TV sitcoms and what the Kardashians are wearing. And, you know, they don't want us to ask the hard questions, because if everybody woke up and stood together in solidarity, you know, the 1% wouldn't be able to continue to do what they do.
Yes. Well, and I think people are getting a little tired, too, of, you know, listening to that on the news, of, you know, the excitement news, the
reality TV that, news.
Yeah. So anyway, we have taken another break. So we will return shortly and talk more with Karen Tate.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself.
Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm having a fabulous conversation with Karen Tate, who is the author of many, many books, Goddess Calling, Sacred Places of Goddess, Voices of the Sacred Feminine. So I kind of want to circle back to how we started, Karen, because of what your focus is and your books and all of talking about the goddess and the and I know one of the things that you do is you've traveled around and you have looked for sacred sites and have written about them and all. So I'm wondering if you, in all that, if you've seen the goddess manifest on Earth.
Well, you know, I started doing the sacred sites because it really, in the early days, it really sort of validated this all for me. I mean, there was nothing like standing in a sacred site of goddess, and you knew it wasn't just some feminist fantasy, you know. And from then, I started studying about goddess, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal and values. And I think she's really all of those things. And, you know, does she manifest on Earth? You know, that's a big question, because I think she can manifest so many different ways. I think she can manifest when she communicates with us and our dreams and our divine wisdom. I think she also manifests in people like Amma, the hugging saint. I'll never forget when that woman touched me and the electricity went through me. You know, I think she even manifests in people like you and me, Chris, when we're out there, you know, doing good in the world. But, you know, who's to say that, you know, you look at the apparitions, for instance, that of Our Lady that people have reported over the years. You know, they usually get couched in a Christian context, you know, that it was Mary or something. But how do we know it wasn't an image of the sacred feminine? So, you know, I think we just have to be open. And, you know, we think about the patriarchs in the Bible, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament. When they said they saw God, nobody doubted them. And I think we have to give ourselves to permission, give ourselves permission to recognize goddess when she manifests in our lives. And you know, sometimes it's in, you know, prayers answered. You know, it can be so many different ways.
Yeah, and it's being open to receive that. You know, to look for it, even to allow it.
Yeah.
You know, to allow it to happen. To instead of that, because we're sort of in a mindset, this expectation of when, because it's always the word God, and in our that image we see a male figure. So how do we open ourselves and surrender to other possibilities?
Well, you know, we have to take that responsibility. I think we have to give ourselves permission is where we start. You know, and I think studying goddess and you know, maybe you're called to a particular goddess, for instance. Like, I was first called to the Egyptian goddess Isis, even though I'm a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman from the South, you know. And you just sort of follow where that leads. And, you know, I mean, I've had some pretty magical experiences, you know, things that I would almost call miracles, you know, happen over the years. You know, I've been a goddess advocate, and you know, and not you know, we have to I think have the courage to start to think differently, see things differently, do things differently, because, you know, if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, how can we expect anything to ever change, you know, that whole idea. So I think it starts there. You know, we simply you know, start to have some sort of a connection with a goddess that maybe calls to us, you know, whether she's a goddess like Sekhmet, who you might look into if you're looking for personal empowerment and strength and courage and tenacity, or if you're, you know, you're on the softer side maybe, and it's compassion and patience and nurturing, you know, maybe you want to look into Kuan Yin or Isis, you know. I mean, there's so many incredible goddesses out there that people around the world today still embrace in their lives, you know, and I think we forget that in the West because, you know, we're so dominated by, you know, the Abrahamic religions where, you know, we don't see a feminine face of God, because even Mary, you know, Mary is really sort of a passive and benign figure. Though she's, I think, being reclaimed today, as is Mary Magdalene. I think they're both being looked upon as goddesses. But, you know, but poor Mary, you know, she's passive, benign. She has no sexuality. You know, she's not whole, you know. So I think, you know, women are, in some cases, being drawn to other faces of the sacred feminine that may be, you know, speak to them as they try to you know, bring wholeness and healing into their life.
Mm-hmm. And I, as you were speaking, I was thinking about somebody else I had on the show, is like finding, you know, what is your heritage? You know, what is your culture? Like, I'm Norwegian, like go back to those roots. What were the goddesses there? What were the, because they are in every probably culture. If you go back far enough, mm-hmm. you can find those roots.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good place to start. If you know, if you don't have an affinity for one particular goddess, I mean, for me, it was Isis, because in my early years, I was just mesmerized by Egypt and these ancient mm-hmm. cultures, and so that, you know, so I think that's what helped me gravitate toward Isis. But it can be anything, you know. You know, but okay. Like that, you know, as you said, you know.
Yeah. Well, what is the last thing? Parting words you want to leave for the audience?
I think it would be for women to support one another, you know, that there be solidarity among women and not competition, and that we stop settling for the lesser of two evils, and, you know, and thinking that we can't have better. I think we all have to start thinking about our quality of life and stop being so complacent about what we accept. And so I think it's about, you know, getting out there and finding your sacred roar, as I like to call it, you know, whether it be with other like-minded women or women and men, you know, get out there and try to make the world a better place. You know, it's like my mother told me when I was growing up, she'd say, Karen, nobody's going to come knocking on your door. If you want something to happen in your life, you have to make it happen. And, you know, I still think about that today.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I love that sacred roar. So I invite people to find their sacred roar, and I applaud you, Karen, being that message of the sacred roar. I know you do that. So everybody, check out Karen's website, www.karentate.com. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Karen, and sharing your wisdom. Karen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chris. And you'll have to come on my show, too.
I'd love to. Okay, so it's time to close our show, and I just want to share some things about Women of Wisdom. Like, this is going to be our 25th year, February 16th to the 20th. And if you would like to receive an invitation to present at the conference, be sure to contact us at wow@womanofwisdom.org. And you can, all the information is up on the website. You can go to www.thewowconference.org. There's information about presenting and application forms, so you can request to, we're doing a little different this year and have an invitation. So you can request by sending in your application form, and we will take that into consideration. We're going to have a very special year. Okay, so everybody have a great weekend. I hear the music coming on. We have to end. So have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.